This briefing is sponsored by Deloitte. Business process with less process. See what's possible when data and automation come together to help reinvent workflows. Visit Deloitte.com/US/onlyseepossible.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Here it is. We're there. We're officially at the start of a brand new decade. If you listened this week, last year, you might remember that at the beginning of every year, our personal tech team makes predictions about technology in the year ahead. So, to keep up the tradition, today we welcome back editor Wilson Rothman and columnist Joanna Stern to make their predictions for 2020. That's coming up after the break.
This briefing is sponsored by Deloitte. On podcasts, you hear a lot about what's possible, but one thing is certain. No business or city achieves their possible alone. That's why Deloitte collaborates with a vast ecosystem of alliances in everything from systems hardware to cloud platforms, data migration to analytics, AI to VR. Collaboration, it's one key way to turn possible into actual. Learn more at Deloitte.com/US/onlyseepossible.
If you've been listening to our tech news briefing this week, you know that our personal tech team has a tradition. Every year, they take all their techspertise and they make predictions about the year ahead. Earlier this week, we took a look back at their predictions for 2019. Now we've got them back here with us, editor Wilson Rothman.
Hello.
And columnist Joanna Stern.
Hello.
To make their predictions for 2020. Let's start with some of the topics that made appearances in your predictions from last year. We ended our conversation talking about 5G. It's coming in 2020 for real?
It's coming in 2020 for real, but not fully for real, but a little bit for real. If you're in the market for a new phone in 2020, you will consider buying a 5G phone. That was not the case in 2019. And the big reason you're going to consider this year is you're going to have all the major manufacturers pushing a 5G model of a phone.
And I do think Apple knows their deadline. They need to ship a phone in September like they do every year. So I can imagine, and I'm not saying this is reporting, but I can imagine Tim Cook is, you know, getting in the grill of the folks at AT&T and Verizon especially, being like, where is this network that's supposed to be, you know, running my iPhone come September? Where is it? And you know, you might suddenly see rumors in August that say no 5G iPhone.
Do we expect, because we have seen these like multiple 4G and LTE as a dual service. Is that not possible with 5G?
Oh, it is. It is. All of the phones that have 5G have 4G, but I can see them still releasing 4G LTE phones and saying that's good enough for most people right now. But then you can get this 5G model as well.
Right. The difference would be the chip inside it. Going to cost a lot more to have a 5G chip than whatever's in our current iPhones.
Okay, so then we could also expect the prices of those phones to be going up as a result?
Possibly.
Apple ever backed down from a price hike?
Yeah.
Well, and the
carriers. But that is a big thing that we will see this year too. Regardless of the phones, this year we have to get information from the carriers about how much 5G will cost. And this, in the past year, we haven't seen that because it's been really sort of in a beta mode. Some of these phones have it. Most people aren't buying them, sort of niche products right now. We don't actually know, you know, will 5G cost us $20 more per month? Will it cost $10? We'll find that out this year.
Okay, so that's going to be a major topic for this year. We talked also, 2019 was really a year for streaming services, where we saw all these different players come into the market. What are we going to see in 2020? What's that going to look like?
More of them.
Yes.
Not less?
Excuse
Aren't we going to see a weeding out?
I don't think so. Last year, we saw Disney Plus. We saw Apple launch. Everyone wanted to say, we've got ours coming. We've got ours coming. Check out the programming we've got. We've greenlit these new shows. It's going to be awesome. A lot of those arrive in 2020. So Peacock arrives May or April. HBO Max also arrives May or April timeframe. And we've heard a lot about the shows that they're going to have on there. They're pulling the shows, some of their shows from Netflix to put onto their own networks like Peacock is doing and HBO Max is doing as well. And we'll also have Quibi, which is this network that's designed just for your phone, and all of this stuff continues to arrive. And I think consumers start to decide, am I going to use all this? I'm going to pay for all this? And I think we'll know pretty soon after these launch about the momentum of them.
I think it's been really interesting just in the last few weeks with Netflix, where we've seen on the one hand them, you know, winning so many Golden Globes or having so many Golden Globe nominations. And on the other hand, showing growth numbers that are really not so great, at least in the U.S.
Right. And analysts are predicting that, 2019 will be their peak for share of time watched. I think eMarketer said 27% of the time we spent watching video was on Netflix, and that's max. That doesn't mean people won't continue to watch and maybe even watch more if they if all we're doing is sitting around watching TV in the future, which is a very
I mean, this is the year that a lot of the big shows that Netflix has had will go to the other network. So Office will be leaving in 2020. They go to Peacock. Friends, I believe, is 2021.
To HBO Max, right?
To HBO Max. So this is the year sort of that starts to play out.
So there were some things that weren't on your list for 2019, obviously, like the elections for 2020 that are coming up. The way in which tech has been kind of targeted or been playing a role in the 2020 election so far hasn't been super great. There's been a lot of complaints about disinformation online. We're talking about deep fakes, political ads. How are we expecting them to react in 2020?
I predict chaos. I predict nobody will figure anything out by the time this election rolls around because we're really, the clock is ticking. Maybe Joanna has a more optimistic
but
it's a mess. I mean, it is.
I think I see two things happening. This is to put it pretty simply. First is the fact that these are just platforms at this point. And the companies will continue to argue that this is what people are doing on our platforms and we're trying to do as much as we can to prevent it. So we're going to have more and more, and this is that first bucket, more and more people on the platforms trying to take advantage of the platforms in ways that I think we can't even predict. Those are those Cambridge Analytica ways that we just had no idea that this data could be used for this or this tool that the tech companies provided could be used for something we just frankly would never have seen. And then I think we'll have the other bucket where the companies are trying to do as much as they can to get ahead of things, to convince the public that they are ahead of things. And that's going to be, I believe, with just a big feature creep. I think they're just going to keep releasing new products, telling us, like Twitter's been doing, we're going to release this new policy that does deep fakes and or prevents deep fakes or at least shows a signal on, you know, if something's there's disinformation or misinformation, we're going to build a product around that that helps people along in their daily use of our products. And I think that's the area where the tech companies will be very vocal. But I think, again, in that first bucket, they're not going to have much control over what happens.
So speaking of the way that the companies kind of define themselves, Uber saying, we're a tech company. We don't hire drivers. We're not a driving company. We're seeing all these companies being in this place where they've been describing themselves as tech startups. And now regulators are coming in and saying, actually, you do a thing. That's another thing.
Yeah, I think Uber really started out thinking that they would only temporarily have human drivers and that they would have this whole autonomous thing licked by like 2020 and they could just move on as a giant tech company and be done with it. I think that was Travis Kalanick's original vision. And of course, for many reasons, technology being first and foremost, we can't do that yet. So Uber suddenly has to deal with a huge labor force, right, that they don't know. How do you know they don't want to give them all health insurance? They don't make money as it is. So how are they supposed to then suddenly put all these people really on the books the way, you know, companies like ours are required to do, for instance? So yeah, you're going to see a lot of starting in California. You're going to see them having to answer that question or face consequences.
And I think we'll also start to hear that a lot too from the workers, from the people who are using these platforms to supplement their current income. Many of the companies will say right now, well, these people don't want to have full-time jobs with us because they are drivers or they deliver food in addition to another job that they have, and they don't want to guarantee us the certain number of hours per week to do X, Y, and Z on our service.
Let's talk about these unicorn IPOs. Obviously, tech companies with over $1 billion going public left and right was a huge part of the tech story this year. But some of them didn't go so well. What impact does that have on 2020?
So you had WeWork that was the most valuable unicorn, $47 billion valuation. It was cruising towards IPO. But thanks to the great work of journalists here at the Journal, it showed that this is a company that does not have a focused vision. It didn't have a path to profitability. It did not have any sort of business going public. And, you know, the powers that be who had advised this company and pumped it into this $47 billion unicorn, realized that too late and had to like slam the brakes, and a lot of people got jostled in the process. That's what happened there. Masa Son, who runs the Vision Fund, and he's the founder of SoftBank, and has a $100 billion Vision Fund, he said, I won't bail out any of my investments that are if they're going south. That's one of the things he said. The other thing he said was that he will look for profitability as the measure of a successful company. That's where we're at now. We have to finally look at these companies as companies. Crazy isn't good enough anymore.
So last year, you said 2019 was going to be all about cleanup and optimism. Can you give us your three-word story for tech in 2020?
I like crazy isn't good enough anymore. That's a good summary of 2020.
That's five words, but I'll give it to you. Wilson Rothman, Joanna Stern, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.